I need one place where I know all 837,000 are definitely gonna see this because I'm getting guaranteed delivery. That makes a ton of sense. It's why I continue to have an email service, and it's why I have Community, the text service.
This is the Gary V Audio Experience.
I'm extremely excited for this next guest. I think this will be a very fruitful conversation, and I think it's gonna bring a lot of value to this specific podcast that we're putting out, this special. So, my friend, why don't you tell everybody your name, what you do, and then we'll get right into it.
My name is Ayman Hariri. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Vero.
So, for the people that don't know out there, why don't you tell us what Vero is and a little bit about the history?
So, Vero was established as an alternative social network online that really differentiates itself mostly by not doing any ads or data mining. So we have a chronological feed. Creators can post what they want to their followers. They gain access to 100% of their followers without the platform manipulating the feed in any way. So it's a fully chronological feed. And we're not doing ads. We're not in the attention economy at all. We're in the subscription business. We haven't turned subscription on, so anybody that joins Vero today gains access to Vero for life without ever paying a subscription. But then when we turn...
So there's the arbitrage. Dustin, get that BMX channel up now, because he's going to clearly turn on subscription at some point, but you can be locked in perpetuity?
Yeah, in perpetuity. That's right.
Dust? Noted. Go ahead.
And then later on, when we do turn on subscription, it's going to be a very small amount that people will pay, a yearly fee or a monthly fee. And it's really for us to just keep the platform honest, for us to be serving our users, having them be our customers rather than advertisers be our customers, where we have to constantly try to get the attention of the users to use the platform so that they can see ads.
So what's your take on this question? Do you believe that the subscription, so we as people who post on social, will be paying $9.99, $13.99, $29.99, $100, whatever it ends up being. But we get 100% of the audience that decides to follow us to see it, which
That's
is obviously
right.
extremely different than it is today.
Yeah.
More like email.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
Right. Do you believe, if I asked you for foreshadow for me, do you think in 10 years that a creator like myself, do you think I'll have one of each? Meaning, or I'll probably be on several platforms, but or not. Do you actually? That's actually the question. Do you believe that most people in 10 years will have a social network that they're paying for, a subscription, and one that looks more like the ones that are out here today, where there's an algorithm and ads and things of that nature? Or do you think one or the other beats out the other in a model?
Yeah, it's a great question. I'm not here to replace everything and be the be-all, end-all with our platform. I think what we're trying to establish is choice, and a choice that gives you more value for the time that you're putting into the platform, whether you're a user and our customer using the platform and getting the most value for the time that you're spending, or a creator like yourself who's spending time making content, thinking about ideas, thinking about a rollout, having a team, and all of those things.
How does the user get value?
So the user should get value for the kind of content that they're getting, whether it's content from their friends that's personal and meaningful to them at that level, or from creators that are providing value to them through the whatever it is that they're getting across, whether it's entertaining, whether it's teaching them something, whatever it is.
But that's something they're able to get in other platforms, no?
Absolutely.
Okay.
But without the ads and without all of the...
Which is a real thing for a lot of people.
No, absolutely.
Got it. So from the user's side, the people consuming, no ads, high value product in comparison to what's out there. For the creators, there's a value in that everyone's going to actually see it of the audience I amass.
Absolutely.
Is there ways to offset your subscription costs?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. So we recently acquired a company called Tokenize, which is a regulated stock exchange. And you may say, okay, why is a social network buying a stock exchange? And the whole idea there is for the community to end up having a chance of owning a piece of the platform and doing it in a regulated way that has us do it where it's all legal and you can start to earn shares in the company. Now, details will come out in the future.
For sure.
In the near future, I mean, we just acquired this company and we merged it into the social network. And it's really the first time anybody's done this. And where our head's at is we're building this for the community. We're building this for the rest of the world. Not for us to own and reap the benefits of that by ourselves, but for us to be joined by the creators who get to earn a piece of the platform by bringing in people who start to pay for content or pay for their channels or whatever else, or pay for the app. But also for those users who are coming in and making a decision that they want an alternative platform, they're paying a subscription, you know, wouldn't it be great if they could earn shares in the company as well?
Take me back to the history of the platform, because I know, you know, and I notice how quickly my team shakes their head because we watch everything.
Sure.
And I mean everything.
Yeah.
There was a moment of what I would call micro virality for this platform. Can you take me back to when that exactly was? Because it feels like 5 or 6 years ago, right? And what, you know, A, how deeply, if at all, were you involved at that point? Because it's blurry in my head if, like, you came in later and bought a piece or you were actually there for day one. You know, like, I can see by your body, everybody listening, the body language, nope, no, so you were there. What was behind the micro virality of it? Because there was a few minutes there where it was really spiking and it was happening for a period of weeks or months. I remember very vividly.
Sure.
And this is a big compliment. In the history, and I'm like, I feel like I'm going to be in like a lot of documentaries when I'm older. In the history of social networks, obviously we know the ones we all know. There's things like Vine that really had it, but they sold in a year. And unlike what Meta did with Instagram, Twitter decided to shut down Vine. But there are very few social networks that have even gotten to that point where they've had a moment. What was that? And obviously after it happened, it was probably easier to figure out why it happened, or maybe not, because virality is interesting, but what was that, when was that, and how did it happen?
Yeah, it's I definitely have been there since day one. I can show you the scars on my back to show that, and the white hairs in my beard to also show that. But what happened in 2018, and that's when the virality
18?
Yeah, 2018.
COVID, I feel, must have made me like, God, was it really I would have like lost that bet.
Yeah.
I thought it was longer than that. When did it come out?
So 2015 is when we put it in the iOS App Store.
I think I might have wrote an article about
it. And it came after that on Android. And now we're on iPad and desktop. And desktop is a beta for the time being, and Android as well. But we're coming out of beta soon on Android. So in 2018, what happened was we were experimenting with ads. Like, we were actually just trying a few ads and letting people know about us to increase the number of installs per day and just see if we, you know, what would happen if we put out a message that says no ads, no algorithms, and no data mining. That's it. I mean, that's the chronological feed. Yeah, we just put those four phrases in different small video clips and just put them out as ads. And I didn't spend that much on it either. And as you said, we became number one app in the world.
That's crazy.
So it was really, I think, we turned all the ads off at that point because we couldn't handle the load. That was the major part that brought things back down. But we sort of learned from that it doesn't take much to, especially with what it is that we're doing, to get a lot of attention. And I think now more than ever, people are seeking an alternative. We haven't done any real advertising since then.
Yes.
And we made a decision, a conscious one, to build the tech stack that is scalable, to keep building on community, which is what we've been doing. So all the growth that you're seeing in the platform, the 6.5 million users and above that we have now have all been organic. And now we've just introduced the investment stack, which we're very excited about because...
Well, it's a massive innovation.
Well, it gives a return for the time that you're spending on social, especially for the creators who are bringing so much value to the platforms that they decide to use, but they don't get access to the equity value in the platform.
No, they get different value.
They do. They get different value, which is it's actually jerry-rigged onto the existing platforms because it's sponsored posts, it's this and that.
Or the stuff they do off-platform.
Or the stuff that right? they
once
do off-platform.
Like, fame is real.
Yes.
So once you build it, like totally. Charlie D'Amelio makes a lot of money because of what happened on TikTok outside of things she does on TikTok.
Absolutely.
But to your point, for a smaller group, this infrastructure would create an extreme long tail of opportunity.
Correct. And yeah, we're going after the everyday creator that wants to make money and wants to make a living off of the thing that they're passionate about. And they don't need that much. But what's interesting is when we look at, you know, if I sit and told you right now that somebody had 1,000 followers, you'd say, okay, that's cool. But, you know, that's on the lower side of the spectrum. You've got people who've got hundreds of millions of followers.
Yeah, of course.
And so... But
I mean, of course, to anybody who wants to make a living doing it. I mean,
absolutely.
For a lot of people listening right now, they're like, I'd fucking kill for 1,000 followers.
No, absolutely.
For normal every day. But like, of course, if someone wants to make a living, 1,000 is going to be on the extreme low side.
Exactly. And but when you start to look at whether it's subscription or you start to look at backers of your project, whatever that may be, that's a lot of people
I love you for that because, man... Back in the day, I was like, do you understand what 815 people that want to see what you have to say looks like physically?
100%.
You put 815 people in an auditorium and you speak in front of them, you know, you'd be like, holy crap, I made it.
Totally.
But in this world, you're like, I'm an imposter syndrome. I suck. I'm like, you don't suck. But to your point, you know, as we go into the commerce part of the conversation, what the blockchain enables potentially over time. And obviously, when I hear you talk about what you're talking about, it's famous of what's going on in the U.S. with the SEC and what's going on in Europe. Like, clearly the governments around the world, Hong Kong this and China that and U.S. this, the regulation and the understanding of cryptocurrency and NFTs is kind of a little bit unclear. It seemed clear and it kind of like took a step backwards. Seemed in 1920 like things were... kind of pretty obvious with Coinbase going public and things in nature, but clearly we've taken a step back of like, you know, people just don't know what. So obviously you going specific to, you know, an actual stock market enables you to actually punch those two together.
Yeah, absolutely. I think,
you know, how does that work for people that live in countries where it's not as clear? Like obviously the stock market that you bought is not in the US, right?
That's right.
Right. So like, what does that mean for someone that lives in London or for someone that lives in Amsterdam or for someone that lives in the US? Will they have? Is there going to be a little period of time of clarity if they're going to be able to interact with those realities?
Yeah, we'll make all of those things clear. Whenever anything that happens on the stock market, we'll make sure that things are clear.
Yep.
But definitely going down the path of regulation gets you there further. It's 100%. Harder to do,
upfront. But it's nice to have clarity.
Exactly. And then you just have a system.
Just as a guy paying attention since you did that, what's your gut tell you on like, what's your bet on the governments around the world to actually have clarity on cryptocurrencies and blockchains and NFTs? What's your hot take? Do you think it's another 2, 3, 4 years of you know, politicking and government stuff before we, as a society of 8 billion, have clarity of where and what and how we can do things?
Look, I think there is clarity around what is a security. Yep. I think the problem is that we're starting, you know, what's colliding right now is us being used to things happening quickly and being able to be instanced on the internet and for that to be the disrupting
force
and enough of a disruptor that all of this old you know sort of law or whatever it is gets changed.
Yes.
The reality is that these things have been put in place to protect investors.
Yes.
So these laws are there to to back up the usage of something called a security. And a security is one of the best inventions in the world.
Yeah.
It allows us to own shares in things that exist, and we get to back them and we get to reap the benefits of them.
Yep.
So what we're trying to do is we're trying to marry that concept with this endless supply of creativity that's out there, whether it's the creativity that creates a song that could be a hit, mm-hmm. or a movie, or any kind of business, and hopefully in the future.
We've had publishers.
Yeah, publishers, absolutely.
Play as banks up front, economics, right?
Yes, exactly.
And obviously the blockchain is going to have an incredible opportunity to create innovation in that scheme.
Yeah, and what blockchain does, or what it does extremely well is add that layer of transparency. That's the number one thing. Mm-hmm. And I look at Web3 as it's actually a set of behavior. Mm-hmm. It's not a technology stack. It's people deciding they want to include other people into the project that they're doing, and be completely transparent and use blockchain as a transparency
layer. On the back of a profound new technology.
The back of a profound new technology that backs up the concept of transparency.
I agree. If people understood actually what a blockchain did versus a internet server.
Yes.
The speed in which it actually is addressing what everyone's anxious about. But it's misbranded.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But at the same time, there's a lot of work that has to go in advance. It's kind of like,
of course.
You know, it's the difference between playing pool, billiards pool, and just hitting the ball and something goes in and you say, look, something went in.
Yeah, of course.
You have to call it out ahead of time. You have to say, here is what I'm doing. I'm building a business that does this. This is what you can expect.
Yep.
Everything's at risk. You know, there's risk associated to everything, et cetera. But this is the kind of business that I'm in, or this is what this piece of art looks like or is valued at, et cetera. And the more you can be transparent ahead of time and then stick to what it is that you're doing, then the outcome then is, you know, for everybody to benefit from.
Parting shot. What have we not talked about in this time together that you'd love for people to know about you, the world, blockchain, Vero, creativity, subscription, or all of the above?
I guess if there's a parting thought, it's we're building for better. We're not here saying we have all the answers, or we're building an alternative platform that is the platform that will take over from every other platform. Absolutely, we want it to be one of the biggest platforms in the world to be an alternative.
That's right, why not?
To be a viable alternative. But what we are doing is we're coming from a place that says, look, things have been done in a certain way up to now, and we think that it's one-sided. It's a win on one side. We're always trying to create a win-win for creators, for the users of a platform, for the platform itself, and for everybody to join and be able to, whoever does decide to make a move and come over to our platform, they get to have a win-win with us.
You know what's funny? And by the way, my favorite word in the world is and instead of or. Favorite. But I will say one thing. I am fascinated by how much value I do think people get from free social networks that have an ungodly amount of human beings consuming. You know, I think we talk about a Charlie D'Amelio or a Logan Paul, but Jesus, there is a very long tail of human beings, hundreds of thousands, who make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year being influencers on these platforms that cost them nothing.
Sure.
Right? I think what's exciting is I really don't think it's as one-sided. I really don't. I think it's more of a game of and than one-sided. I, for example, immediately am interested in the concept of having one of my platforms guarantee that all, you know, I would rather have Vero as a complement to all my other social. And I have a lot of social.
Yeah, sure.
Right?
Of course.
I'm sitting here and thinking, and I'm like, I'm getting excited. I'm like, hey, I better sign up now so I don't have to pay the fucking subscription fee. let me get a little micro Arbin. But I'm like, you know, this is going to be awesome. It's kind of like how I use Community, the text message service.
Sure.
I'm like, I'd love to have one social network that only has a million. This is my standards. Only a million. The others have more. Because not everyone listening actually wants to see actually every piece from me. They're fine following me, but they'd prefer it, right? And I do a lot of different stuff, wine and jets and this. But that'd be really cool. That's like something I actually need. I need one place where I know all 837,000 are definitely gonna see this because I'm getting guaranteed delivery. That makes a ton of sense. It's why I continue to have an email service, and it's why I have Community, the text service.
Right, exactly.
So looking forward to checking out for myself. Everybody, you should check out Vero, V-E-R-O.
Yeah.
And in the App Store, that's how it is?
Yeah, in the App Store, in the Android Store, And we have an iPad app and a desktop app is in beta.
So I know a bunch of you, especially the Instagram crew of 2018, I know a bunch of you might actually have this on your phone because you were on it for like a hot minute. Would love to hear from everybody. Hit me up on Twitter at GaryVEE on your feedback on this and or. Do you think the social world will be in a 5-10 year window subscription only the way it is now and no subscription service has come to the top 10, or do you see it the way we've talked about here with and where there is a subscription player and there is, and look, OnlyFans, Patreon, right? Substack, like there is clearly content being made that people pay for. And so, and in your world, it's actually the person that's making it that's paying, right? The subscription?
No, actually. So everybody pays a small fee and that way it makes it sustainable. The idea though of marrying it with this, tokenized stock exchange is that everybody also gets benefits. A piece and
so
benefits
on the
of
upfront,
the platform.
Put the blockchain to the past because yeah, I think sure. It's above a lot of people's pay grade in the short term, but will become normalized soon. In the step one, though, I'm not down. I mean, as you can imagine, I'm very excited about what you're talking about there. Everyone pays eventually. Hasn't happened yet, as I heard from you.
That's
but
right.
Anybody that signs up pays?
Yes, but pays a very small amount.
Understood.
As opposed
and
to...
And is there any different dynamic if you're a high volume creator of output? Or does that happen because of the secondary
all.
Thing?
Yeah, no. Understood. So if you're bringing a ton of traffic,
yeah.
We're not going to charge you more.
Of course.
Or anything like
or
that.
Or posting more often.
Or posting more or access to more people. Because right now you're posting, but you're only gaining access to about 3% of your audience.
Yep.
In our case, you gain 100% access to
what
your
about
audience.
Virality?
Virality.
That's going to be interesting, right? Because
yeah,
the framework
absolutely.
Is based on emails don't go viral, right? So like one
they
of the
kind of do. They kind of do.
You and I are old. We used to forward emails. I got bad
I just aged
you.
Us.
Yeah, right the kids exactly, don't fucking yeah. forward emails, brother. But by the way, kids, no bullshit. In the late 90s,
yeah.
like pre-social networks, if you got people used to send random funny emails to their entire address book, and then people would send it like email was like early social, like you would actually forward reply all forward. Anyway, back to the point. So cool, but a lot of people have benefited by having no audience going on TikTok, posting, and then boom, 800,000. That's been very beneficial to them. Is there a viral component to Vero that
yeah,
you're thinking
I think you're
through?
Talking about discovery, and
yes,
discovery is something that we're. So we're building it step by step.
Yep.
And discovery is absolutely something
understood.
That we're
good.
Building into
good.
It. So if you're somebody whose content is being seen by a lot of people and is having a great reaction, when you're in a discovery mode, you can go and
understood.
Discover that kind
got
of content.
Understood.
And then you
just
can discover the new creator. Not in your core feed because you've chosen.
I totally understand.
You only choose who goes into that.
By the way, that's how social started.
Totally.
It's obviously evolved into an AI-driven discovery model and clearly is effective because people do like passive discovery.
Sure.
But to your point, I can speak for myself. I am actively still a person that has to rely on email and my, you know, 212-931-5731 sign up now because I need a place that quote unquote guarantees it. Because if I want to post something that I want everybody to know about and I post it on social, I got to work super hard to make that creative as fuck, which is almost inherently impossible
sure.
when you want people to know
every
something because you're
time.
Selling. So it's really interesting stuff. Brother, thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.